Across the country and here in Wisconsin, homeless service providers are struggling in the pandemic. We're taking stock of these critical resources here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites experience homelessness in a year, and it could get worse. Are you or someone you know homeless? What resources would be most helpful? Do you work for an organization serving homeless clients? How is the pandemic affecting your services? How have you adapted? 800-642-1234. Eric Lemerand is a homeless task force officer for the Wausau Police Department. Officer Lemerand, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
We also have Michael Bassford, who directs the Wisconsin Interagency Council on Homelessness. It's housed in the Department of Administration. Michael, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Shelley Saracen, who's co-founder and director of Street Angels, Inc., a homeless outreach organization in Milwaukee. Shelley, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, Shelley, let's start with you on the day-to-day and probably understanding that every day is different. There's nothing the same as you go forward. How would you describe, though, a day in your line of work?
Well, to give a little background on Street Angels, we are a homeless outreach organization based in Milwaukee, and we go out three nights a week with survival needs and meals for those experiencing homelessness in Milwaukee. A typical night for us, we have two transport buses that we have transformed into little survival buses that have anything from blankets to clothing, hot meals, a lunch for later. But more importantly, it's the connection that we have and our volunteers have in gaining the trust of the people that we're encountering every night. We visit about 40 different either homeless encampments in or around Milwaukee or public meeting spots, anywhere that we know people have been known to congregate. So we work really hard to build that trust and make those connections to actually permanent resources.
Shelley, what are the kinds of conversations that when you're out on the streets talking with people who are homeless, what are those conversations like at night?
Well, seeing as though, you know, we're out from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we have a lot of people to see.
Yeah.
Our conversations are brief, but it's more of, how can we help you today? Have you been in contact with your caseworker? Is there anything that you need help following up with? Do you have a caseworker? Let's get you connected. And all of that happens over time. So it's not the first time that we would meet somebody. The first time we would meet somebody, everybody's very scared. They don't know what to expect. They don't know who we are. We don't know who they are. So it takes a long time to build those relationships. And especially right now during winter, we don't have a lot of time to gain that trust with somebody in order to get them resources, to get them indoors. Yeah. So there's a lot that goes on in a very brief period for over the 150 people we see each night.
Officer Lemerand, take us to Wausau. What is your connection at the Wausau Police Department to working on the issue of homelessness?
Absolutely. And I'd like to start out by saying thanks for having me. I'm glad we're part of this conversation, as I think it's very important for our area and the state. It's kind of started, the chief here, Chief Benjamin Bliven, started a homelessness task force. And seeing that this problem was really increasing here in this area, on the task force, he included several community members like Michael Loy, who's the CEO of the healthcare center. Between the two of them, they realized that maybe they need to start looking at this from a different perspective. The chief said that he would provide an officer, and Michael wanted to provide a caseworker to really do some basic street outreach. And so he tasked me with that. I spent about 2 weeks at the end of September with just building those relationships like Shelley was talking about, because we do have a chronic homelessness problem in a local park by the river, kind of around downtown area. And it's been a place that really uses a lot of resources, and they use them ineffectively and inefficiently, so that it costs a lot more than what it should, meaning time, effort. And to try and get that problem resolved the best we can, and again, starting by building those relationships, getting to know the people and really what their need is, because of course everybody's homelessness looks a little different and the resolution of course is different.
I would imagine too, once you start building those relationships and understanding what are some of the roots of that homelessness, that you get a better picture of what you might see on a given night in Wausau, and maybe even have more information as you go about the duties of being a police officer.
Absolutely. You know, one of the barriers that I have to overcome is, of course, the nature of my job and being a police officer, and knowing that these individuals typically don't have positive experiences with police, and overcoming that. I was originally supposed to be in plain clothes, but I actually am in uniform just due to the default nature that I needed a marked squad to get around and have an office, basically. So seeing that barrier, I had to work a little extra to try and get those folks to trust me and build those relationships. Ultimately, it's been a positive experience for them and for the police department. Many of them will actually stand up to others in their community when they talk negatively about the police department. But it's easier for me to go to agencies around town and introduce myself as Officer Lemeron. It almost allows me to be a little more proactive sooner.
Yeah, yeah. Eric Lemerand, a law enforcement officer in Wausau, Shelley Saracen, director of Street Angels Milwaukee, and a voice we're going to hear from next, Michael Basford, head of the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness. We're discussing the issue of homelessness and what can be done in Wisconsin. Michael, give us, if you will, a state-level view of homelessness, how our state government is working on this problem.
Certainly. So prior to the coronavirus pandemic and the ensuing economic downturn, the situation was very concerning already. We were experiencing what I would call a normal state of crisis. On any given night in Wisconsin, you could find upwards of 4,500 people throughout the state who are either sleeping outside or in emergency shelters or otherwise in places not meant for human habitation. And when the COVID crisis hit, it had a very difficult effect on the homelessness services system, where you had the CDC guidelines for emergency shelters and the need for social distancing, and a lot of shelters are in buildings that were not originally set up to shelter people, and so in a lot of cases retooling them to account for the CDC guidelines meant that you had people that the number of people that shelters could serve had to go down.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to pause right there with Michael Basford, who directs the Interagency Council on Homelessness. We're talking with three people who work on the issue of homelessness every day, taking your questions, your insights. What do shelters look like now in your community? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. The number of people who are homeless in our country had been falling in recent years, but advocates fear that the pandemic could upend that trend. We're looking for solutions. We're sizing up resources here in Wisconsin and what shelters are preparing for. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Do you work in a profession aimed at helping the homeless? What are your greatest challenges? It's 800-642-1234. We're talking with Michael Bassford, who directs the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness. Shelley Saracen heads up Street Angels Milwaukee Outreach, and Wausau Police Officer Eric Lemerand, who works on a homelessness task force in his community. They're all with us for the hour. Let's take a call now. Chris is joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris. What would you like to say?
Hi. You know, before Ronald Reagan, the government was building 100,000 units a year. During the Reagan administration, they went down to between 10 and 12,000. I forget the number a year. So the problem is a lack of affordable housing. So right now, we've got tiny house groups. We've got renewable energy groups. There are groups out there who are ready and willing to start building small, affordable housing for people. All we need is the government to step back in and throw in some cash. And that's my solution. I'll take the response off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for bringing that to the table. Michael Bassford, you know, Chris is saying we need affordable housing, full stop. What would you say there?
The caller is absolutely right. We are in the middle of an affordable housing crisis. We need tens of thousands of more units for people who are earning at 50% or lower of the area median income. And because of that, that shortage has really exacerbated the issue of homelessness, because if you don't have actual places to put people into, it's going to be very difficult to get people out of homelessness and back into housing. I mean, housing is the lodestone of civilized society. I mean, everything that society benefits comes from that, you know, be it decreased crime rates, expenditures by municipalities, and, you know, the effects on the workforce and the effects on schools, those all stem from housing and the availability of it. So that is whatever we can do to promote the development of affordable housing is a top priority for us.
Yeah, but how do you, Michael, then put it all together? Groups that are ready to go with on-the-ground projects, groups that want to help, like a tiny house project. How do you connect them to the infrastructure needs that state government would have to step in and sort through?
Well, that is a question of funding, and we should, you know, and what we want to do is to find ways to make more funding available for affordable housing, be it a variety of sources. But you're absolutely right. Being able to get the funds out there is going to be key to helping developers and organizations that house people and provide supportive services for them and others to be a part of the solution.
We're talking about homelessness here in Wisconsin with Michael Bassford there. He's head of the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness. We also have Eric Lemerand, who is a law enforcement officer in Wausau. Shelley Saracen is director of Street Angels Milwaukee, as we look at the issues of homelessness through their eyes of working on it every day. Taking your questions and your insights, 800-642-1234. Shelley, back to you. I have read that encampment under Milwaukee overpasses have been filling up in the pandemic. And what happens when they're cleared?
Well, actually, this year we have not seen the big encampments that we did in years past.
Okay.
So last winter or last year, there was a very large encampment of over 100 tents under one of the bridges downtown. We don't see that right now. We are seeing people everywhere and almost every bridge and every part of the woods that we're checking. So it's really because there are not, when there was a big encampment downtown, there were resources. every resource is closed right now. So we're seeing this expansion of areas that weren't inhabited before but are inhabited now only because they're closer to, you know, a bathroom that they can get to every now and then or a place to wash their hands. So it's really spread out. It's making it very long nights to try to reach everybody and try to meet their needs. But they're still out there. They're just a lot more hidden.
Chris in Milwaukee was saying, look, this comes down to access to housing. We need more housing. What would you say there?
Absolutely. I mean, the answer to ending homelessness is a house. So we need affordable housing. We know that the eviction moratorium is going to end. I don't know what homelessness is going to look like in the spring and summer of next year. I feel like right now we're in the calm before the storm. And I don't know if we're all prepared to meet the needs of what homelessness is going to look like. Without those houses and with more people getting evictions, it's going to make it even more difficult to find housing.
Let's bring in John now in Madison. Hi, John. Hi, go ahead.
I've wondered if it must be legal to be able to sleep outside. I've talked with homeless people on the square and have wondered if it's illegal. Apparently it's not, or they wouldn't be letting them sleep out there. And I wonder if they changed that law so it's illegal to stay outside and then provided areas like they set up for the COVID people, you know, temporary or whatever they are, inside certain buildings. And they pull that together when they need space for hospital beds and such. Why can't they do that for homeless people? And then maybe they could assess their situations better if it was mandatory that they couldn't stay outside. I don't know the law on that, but I'll listen for that. Thank you.
John, thank you. A number of things to pick apart there. Officer Lemerand, first of all, what is the legal situation of sleeping on the street overnight?
I can tell you in Wausau, it's not specifically illegal. You know, as I stated earlier, there's a park that these individuals typically gather in, and that is also not illegal. Mandating people out of homelessness doesn't seem like it's the right solution because they already have a problem criminally with the law, as many of them have been charged with various crimes due to the nature of the substance abuse or their current situation, their mental health. I don't feel as though that's the correct way to really regulate this because they just don't tend to follow those regulations. And when we make people do things, you typically have a certain group that says, yeah, you're not going to make me do anything. For instance, we have a very resource-rich community here in the Wausau area. A lot of resources to help people, very generous communities. And there are still people who are homeless, who are not taking advantage of those. And some of it is they're just not connected, which is why we're doing the street outreach. Some of it is they don't want the help. Another issue is that they just don't know how to take advantage of that help due to, again, the substance abuse or the mental health. You know, we can make people do all we want or attempt to make people, but there's just always going to be those people that don't want to buy into that. The solution is to find the motivation within themselves to allow them to take advantage of that. And that's kind of my job also is as I talk to them, how can I use what they're saying as motivation for them to act and take advantage of these resources?
Yeah, connecting to the resources and making use of them. Michael, you know, John from Madison was saying there, we can build a field hospital for COVID patients, but we can't seem to build adequate shelter space when we need it. What is going on there?
Well, there are communities throughout the state that during this extreme crisis have stepped up to provide alternate locations for homeless sheltering. Madison has certainly done it with, using hotel vouchers plus using different facilities to take over for sheltering, and other communities have done that. I mean, it does stand to reason that creating newer and larger emergency shelters may have to be a short-term solution. As a result, you know, there's always going to be homelessness. Again, what we really want to do is to be putting people into permanent housing. That is that's the ultimate goal for all of this. But right now, communities are stepping up around the state, Milwaukee and Madison and Eau Claire and others, to provide alternate locations for people to be sheltered during this.
Michael Basford directs Wisconsin's Interagency Council on Homelessness. As we look at all facets of homelessness in Wisconsin nearly 9 months into the pandemic, taking your questions as well, what wraparound services are vital? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up. Stay with us right after this news update on the Ideas Network. We're spending the hour looking at outreach efforts on the streets as providers work to get homeless residents connected with resources. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Homelessness is a nationwide problem, and researchers, they worry that a combination of pandemic-related job losses, that increasing housing costs and evictions could lead to more people losing their homes. Are you or someone you know in a vulnerable state or on the verge of losing your home? What resources could help stabilize your situation? Share what you see. Share programs that are working in your community. 800-642-1234. Shelley Saracen directs Street Angels, a Milwaukee outreach. Wausau Police Officer Eric Lemerand is here, works on homelessness in his community. And Michael Basford directs the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness, and they're with us for the hour. Let's bring in Elna, who's joining us from Madison. Hi, Elna.
Good morning. Good morning. I know that during this pandemic, the hospitality industry is suffering. It seems like we have a great opportunity to give those owners a soft landing by buying them out and using hotels and motels as permanent housing for the homeless. They're secure spaces, they're rooms with bathrooms and sometimes kitchen facilities, and I think it would take little to no effort to convert them to permanent housing. Thank you.
Thank you, Elna. Shelley, I want you to field that first, what Elna is describing there.
Well, it's definitely not a bad idea. I think it's a great idea. We've seen homeless hotel programs in other states, and I believe California is working on one right now. Of course, affordable housing and taking these hotels that are suffering because of the pandemic, it's helped right now with our city and county leaders partnering with our local hotels to get rooms for our friends on the street to isolate and to stay safe during the pandemic. So I would love to see that happen within our organization, to where we could one day maybe get a hotel and transform that into affordable housing, but it does come down to funding.
Officer Lemerand, what do you see out of hotel partnerships or anything like that in the Wausau community?
I can tell you that we've reached out to a few hotels in town for in case some of our homeless individuals have to isolate. That, of course, is a little bit different scenario than just having them as a regular housing. In our scenario, several of the hotels were kind of hesitant to take part in that program due to just kind of the nature of it and the risk to their staff, the risk to other guests. It isn't a horrible idea. There's just a lot of logistics that go into that. We were able to partner with a hotel, but it's not an easy process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael Bassford, how do you see hotel partnerships in this problem?
For the time being, actually, it's been among the best solutions that we've seen so far. Communities and counties around the state, with their own funds and leveraging funds from the federal government, have been able to set up non-congregate sheltering in hotels. I know that there are a couple that are looking at a more permanent solution rather than just addressing the pandemic crisis with hotels. And so I think that's a great idea. I mean, it's a win-win, not only to get people off the street and to get them safe, but also to help out a hospitality industry that is currently suffering in the state.
Let's bring in Cody now, who is joining us from Richland Center. Hi, Cody. Can you describe your situation?
Hi there. Yes, we were renting a house for about 7 years from a landlord, and we were living with mold and mice and bugs. So I contacted the environmental specialist in the area, and he came out and put an abatement on the house. But instead of helping us, you know, hold him accountable and have the house fixed, he spent 2 months helping the landlord sell the house, who sold it to his son-in-law, who's now evicting us also. So we're about to be homeless for no fault of our own. And we've gone through 3 evictions now that we've won all of them. But, you know, it's just a warning out there for anybody looking to get their house fixed. Maybe wait on that because you could end up in your homelessness. The HOPE organization is what it's called that helped him sell the house rather than fix it. And also, a lot of people I know are going homeless around here and having to put their pit bulls and other pets to sleep because everybody's prejudiced against pit bulls. And the CDC moratorium is the only thing helping right now our situation, so I'm hoping that gets extended. And then one other thing is there's a website called CCAP where all your evictions are listed, and we now have 3 listed on CCAP for no fault of our own, and we asked the judge to have them removed, and he denied it. So just be careful, people, and, yep, we're going to face some hard times here.
Oh, Cody, thank you so much for sharing your situation. There is so much there to talk about. I want to start with you, Michael Bassford, and what landlords have to do with this picture, with the situation around evictions and where people go and the help that they need.
So without addressing the caller's specific case, I could say that the CDC's moratorium on evictions for not being able to pay rent, that is still in effect until the end of this month. So landlords cannot evict people as a result of not being able to pay rent. Once we hit January 4th, however, that situation is going to change. The Interagency Council has already signed on to a call to the CDC to extend the moratorium for at least another 3 months, so that to give the federal government an opportunity to provide some real relief in terms of rental assistance and also other emergency funding measures that can be used in communities to keep people in housing. And it was one of the things that the state administration was able to do with CARES Act funding. Governor Evers put out $35 million for a rental assistance program. That, combined with other funds that communities and counties added, was able to keep tens of thousands of households in the state in their housing. But there are, as the caller alluded to, there are significant dynamics between landlords and tenants where it can be made more difficult for tenants to keep their housing. And I say this not as somebody who's unsympathetic to what landlords are having to go through. If they're not able to collect rents, they're not able to pay their bills. And so we really need a rather robust investment in rental assistance and paying back the estimated $35 to $70 billion of back rent nationally that is owed. So we don't hear, starting in January, tens of thousands of households entering the eviction courts and the homelessness system. It's very concerning, and we certainly need help. There will be some federal funding that is going to be available for homelessness prevention, but we're going to need a lot more.
Michael Bassford, head of the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness, talking there. Shelley Saracen here, director of Street Angels Milwaukee, an outreach organization. Eric Lemerand is a law enforcement officer, police officer in Wausau. You can join in 800-642-1234. Shelley, as you hear Cody's story and living in a house that is infested, that has mold, that has mice, and trying to get that help, what do you think? What should be the next steps?
Unfortunately, he is not alone. We, especially in winter, all the time, there are people that are living in unsafe, unsanitary situations just to avoid being outside and being homeless. Unfortunately, with the moratorium ending and his imminent, almost imminent eviction going to occur, I would just encourage him to not lose hope and to stay on top of it, follow the court guidelines, reach out to homeless agencies, how they can help. There will be assistance, for rent assistance, but it's the evictions. It's going to make it very difficult to find another place to live, as he already knows.
Officer Lemerand, what will be the effect of the eviction moratorium being lifted for a community like Wausau, where you are?
Potentially devastating. We don't think that we're going to solve the homelessness issue in this area. Our intent is to resolve it in a large quantity for a lot of individuals. But again, like Shelley said, there are community programs that can help people. There are resources out there. One of the issues that I see is it takes a lot of work to access those resources, not because they require a lot from people, but to go from this agency to that agency to another agency and the time it takes to do that. It's not seamless. And one of the things we're trying to do in the Wausau area is make it seamless as we can. We have a community partner campus, I believe is what it's called, that is going to hopefully take all of the nonprofits and put them in one campus so that these people don't have to go from this side of town to that side of town, but this office to that office to that office in a hope that we can lessen that transition or those travels.
Officer Eric Lemerand, a homeless task force officer for the Wausau Police Department, Michael Bassford as well, Shelley Saracen, both working on homelessness in their areas. Still time to talk. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation about solutions to fight homelessness and what that coordinated approach looks like in the pandemic with housing, with services, with programs. We have Wausau Police Officer Eric Lemerand, who is a homeless task force officer. Shelley Saracen directs Street Angels in Milwaukee, which she co-founded. And Michael Bassford is here, who directs the Interagency Council on Homelessness. They're with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Tim, who is joining us from Ladysmith. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I guess the question I have a friend of mine that works for Loaves and Fishes in the Twin Cities area, and the challenge that they always have is, in terms of finding housing for people, is trying to find housing in urban areas, or in other words, in places where these people can work. Most of these people, I'm assuming, at least prior to the moratorium for evictions, were probably not more than high school educated. So chances are they have to live and work in rural areas. So I'm wondering what's being done to try and establish housing in urban areas or semi-urban areas so they can get to work via public transportation, because probably a lot of these people don't have vehicles, number one. And number two, are they offering to try and take tax forfeited properties to try and build these things on, and offering huge tax rebates to contracting companies to try and build these places for people, not just shelter, but permanent housing as well? I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Tim, thank you. Yeah, Michael Bassford, I want you to feel that about living in proximity to where you can find that job, where you can get to a job each day.
So the challenges for homelessness and housing in Wisconsin, and the solutions have to be whole state. In other words, you know, urban, suburban, rural areas, the challenges are pretty much all the same. There's a question of scale. And the caller is correct about supports for workforce development to be able to have people in areas where there are jobs. Having a job is a great determinant in somebody's housing stability, of course, and just being able to develop it so that no matter where you are, you do have that access not only to affordable housing, but affordable housing that is also a life that is self-sustaining. The challenges are statewide, but the solutions have to be statewide as well.
Yeah, Shelley, I would like you to pick up on that about finding that stability with housing and your job and being able to be all in the same place and being able to have that together. How do you make that happen?
Well, for our friends on the street right now, survival is their full-time job. We hear it all the time. If you want to end your homelessness, get a job. That's very hard to do when you're waking up under a bridge or in a cold tent every morning. So our goal, again, is to get people connected to those resources to gain permanent housing, to be able to get a full-time job. Without the affordable housing and with evictions, that's just another challenge, and it prolongs the time that a person will take to get back on their feet.
I want to move to the issue of addictions with you, Officer Lemerand. How accessible are treatment facilities in your area, in the Wausau area at this time, when someone is also battling an addiction?
Yes, that also has something. We've seen that problem in our area. One, because just the resources and the finances that it takes to have those resources. And then you put on top of that the pandemic, where we have local facilities that are shut down or changed to treat COVID patients. And that's something that's not as accessible as it should be. We've come across several hurdles and barriers in trying to help certain individuals with treatment, where the facilities that are available are now cut in half because they went from double rooms to single rooms. Mm. And to try and find a place that has an opening is 2-4 weeks away, two months. It's really counterproductive. One of the things we had asked for is some priority in these programs, whether it's mental health programs or substance abuse programs, because we understand that when these people are feeling vulnerable and feeling like, okay, today's the day I want help, that's when we have to plug them in, because tomorrow they may not be. Tomorrow they may have thought twice about it or considered a different resolution. And that's probably one of our biggest challenges in my position is getting them to those resources as soon as they're ready to take advantage of them.
We're talking with Officer Eric Lemerand, who is with the Wausau Police Department. Shelley Saracen, Director of Street Angels Milwaukee. Michael Bassford is with us, head of the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness, as we look at all dimensions of homelessness and what Wisconsin faces. Michael, I want to make sure we get to this, because almost a year ago, Governor Evers signed into law a bipartisan bill that increased funding for homeless shelters by $1 million over 2 years. The next biennial budget is being crafted. Where does homelessness fall in budget priorities and funding?
Well, we've been having quite a number of conversations with the various players, the various agencies and leaders, and gauging the level of need. The level of need is absolutely massive, and helping bring an end to homelessness as we know it in Wisconsin is a very high priority for the governor and for the administration. And that was reflected in the last budget. Unfortunately, as you said, there was one bill that passed, one pot of funds that were increased for emergency shelters. And there are a lot of other aspects of the solution that unfortunately didn't make it through the legislature. So that doesn't mean that we give it up. That means, especially in this time, because the need is so much greater. And I mean, as Officer Lemoran said, even prior to the coronavirus crisis, access to treatment facility for treatment for substance use disorders had been very difficult. That's now even more difficult for the reasons that he stated. But also, I mean, we're seeing a substantial spike in substance abuse in Wisconsin among the housed and unhoused populations. Mm. So that's going to have to be substantial investments in that, in mental health and in case management and other wraparound services, and a wide variety of things are going to be needed in the short and long term.
Shelley, over the course of this hour, I've heard tension in your voice, worry in your voice, and some frustration. How have your goals at Street Angels Milwaukee shifted as we head into the winter in a pandemic?
Well, I'm concerned because we are still seeing a high volume of people outside each night, and we know that the hotel programs that are in place in Milwaukee are filling up very fast, which is going to put a lot of strain, not only on our organization, but many others, just to keep people alive this winter. Nobody should be homeless, especially during winter, especially during a pandemic. There were resources put into place to make sure that people had the means to shelter appropriately. And I guess for me, it's just not fast enough. We're already mid-December and there's too many people outside.
There are just too many people outside. Officer Lemoran, I'm going to have you have the last word here on what the law enforcement piece can be going forward in battling homelessness.
Thank you. Well, as always, I think we need to be cognizant that homeless individuals face different barriers than other members of our community. Sometimes their homelessness is because of their criminal record. And I've had several instances where I've tried to house some homeless people and landlords are hesitant to rent to them because of their charges. The one thing that I fairly quickly recognized is the larger the record, the harder it is. And I don't suggest that we shouldn't tend to those criminal issues, but I think as a community and as a system like the justice system, we need to be aware that what we do may affect their homelessness.
Thank you all for joining us. Eric Lemoran, law enforcement officer in Wausau, Shelley Saracen, director of Street Angels Milwaukee, Michael Basford is head of the state's Interagency Council on Homelessness. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.